Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you. Thank you, Lord, just for another opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you, Lord, just for your word, Lord. Without your word, we would be lost. We wouldn't know how to function. But your word tells us how to live, how to give, how to forgive, how to think, how to love, how to worship, how to act, how to react. God, your word covers it all. So as we celebrate communion this morning, the breaking of bread, drinking of wine, then as we celebrate the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord, speak to our hearts. We open our hearts and minds to receive your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate daily through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. Holy Spirit, teach us now. Lead and guide us. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We don't want information. We want revelation. Then let us apply it and let us live it. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Did I say Matthew 26 and 36? So on the first Sunday, we kind of break rank from our traditional message. We'll be back to that next week. But on first Sunday, I try and do a miracle. I try and do a parable or try and do a proverb. So I don't know what I'm doing this morning, okay? I don't know. I guess this would be in the category of a miracle. But we pick up the narrative at Matthew 26 and 36. And I think I'll read through 42. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. Said unto his disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. I'm going to try and get through this. So what do you do? First off, what do you do when Jesus puts you in a place, when you're in that place? We talked about a place called there on Mother's Day. But when you're in that place, he just says, sit. Said unto his disciples, he said, sit while I go and pray. While Jesus is interceding for you and he tells you to sit. How long are you going to sit? Verse 37, he took with him Peter and James. That's the first note you need to make. How long are you going to sit? How long? What box are you going to limit God and what time and what space? God, I'm going to sit here until then I'm going to do something myself. Told him to sit. Talks about patience. It talks about perseverance. It talks about endurance. How long do you sit? How long do you wait on God to hear back from God? Verse 37, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. We know that to be, he always took with him in his inner circle. First it was 12. Then he broke down to 12 and he took James, Peter, and John. He began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. So men, make a note. You should have at least three men that you can call when it gets too tough to bear. Man, you should at least have three men. Who can you call when it's just so tough and so heavy and so sorrowful? Are they even dialed into God for you to call them? Ladies, you should have, and you're a lot better than this than we are. You have people that you can call. And we're not talking about prayer gossip. We're talking about who do you call when you really need to be real. You got to have at least three people that's going to tell you the truth. Oh, and they need to be godly people. Yes. Let me clarify that. It needs to be God. What three godly people can you call when you need the truth, when you're heavy and you're sorrowful? Verse 38, he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. I'm hurting so bad that I feel like I could die. This is God talking. Amen. And then he says, you wait here and you watch with me. Now he told the 12 just sit there, but he's telling the three I need you to wait and watch. How long do you wait and watch before you do your thing? In the toughest time of your life, God says, wait and watch. Toughest time in your life, you want God to do a miracle. He says, you wait and watch. How long do you wait and how long do you watch? And you say, God, I got to do something. I got to take over. Make a note, family. Oh, it gets better. How long do you wait and watch for God? For him to move? Verse 39, he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father. Underline, oh, my Father. It's personal. Whoo, it's personal. Can you talk to God like that? The toughest time of your life, can you fall on your face? Can you pray and say, God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Can you talk to God like that? Oh, I can't wait to break that down a little bit later. But let me put it this way. He says, not, and you tell God, it's not what I want. Because God, you know, I want to do a lot of things, but it's really not about what I want. In this relationship with God, family, it's really not about what we want. It's about God's will. Even when it's the toughest time of our life, even when things seem to be falling apart, see, even when it feels like it's so tough we're going to die. Now, remember, we won't be able to tell Jesus he doesn't know what it's like to go through tough times. Don't know what it's like to sacrifice everything for someone else. We'll find as we keep reading that he gets betrayed. We'll never be able to tell Jesus he doesn't know what it's like to be betrayed, stabbed in the back, let down, divorced, kicked to the curb. You can't tell him you don't know what it's like. He doesn't know what it's like to experience death. Yes, he does. God had to watch his son die. It's in a tough place. And it gets tougher. Verse 40, he come unto the disciples and find them asleep. And said unto Peter, you couldn't even watch and wait 1 hour. Speaks of our impatience. We can't even wait for God 60 minutes before we're drifting off doing something else. Verse 41, he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And somebody say, amen. Watch and pray. And the watch means to stay vigilant in the Greek and Aramaic translation. Watch says, as the young folks tell us, stay woke. God was telling us that long before the song came out and the movie came out. God's telling you, stay woke. Give strict attention. Be active and be cautious. You need to watch everything that goes on. And that watch also means to discern. Family, everything that goes on, you have to discern it through your biblical lens. Everything needs to be discerned through the biblical lens, needs to go through the biblical filter before you make a move, before you decide on that job, that business, that ministry, that relationship. Everything has to go through. And then you need to call your three godly friends and break down everything. And I guarantee you won't make a mistake. I guarantee you won't get caught up like last time. Bless you. But the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh says, I can't even wait an hour. I got to do my own thing. You took too long to call me back, God. I waited for you 60 minutes, Lord. And now I got to do something. Verse 42, and he went away again and the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, this cup may not pass away from me unless I drink it. Thy will be done. It's verse 42. Make a note. Make a note. Some things you just got to go through. Some things you just got to go through. I wish I could say it in another way, but some things in life we just got to go through. Where's Sister Kathy? Sister Kathy, I got a bunch of read this, Sister Kathy. So let me start with my first read this. Okay, this is one of the toughest times of Christ's life. This is the day before he's crucified. He just had the Passover. We'll go over that. Just had the Passover meal. He instituted communion. Now it's time for him to... Hey, look, all the accolades have stopped. He's walked on water. He's calmed the sea. The pat's on the back. He's rode in on a donkey. And now, hey, all that's over with. Now, this is the toughest day of your life. Everybody done told you how great you are, how good you look, how pleasant you smell. Everybody's rooting for you. And now you got to go through, and some things you just got to go through. And this is the toughest day of your life. And here you are calling out to God, and he said, you watch and you wait just right here. But make a note of this. We serve a God of detail, order, specifics, and timing. God is very precise. Nothing happens on accident, happenstance, chance, or luck. Don't let people, oh, you're so lucky. No, you don't understand the grace of God. You don't understand the providence of God. Nothing happens on chance and luck. You being here today, me being here, it's not by happenstance. It's not by luck. It's not by chance. God is very precise. Amen. Make a note of this, family. Here's the revelation. God is speaking each and every situation. You have to make sure you're listening. Even in your toughest times, in your brightest days, God is still speaking. He's letting you know that he allows the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. He was speaking this morning. When I got up, I looked out. I saw the blue skies. God, you are good. He was smiling on us because we got up. Somebody say amen. Amen. God is speaking in every situation. Sometimes we're just not listening. When you're on the job, God is speaking through your no good boss or your pleasant boss. When you're at the gym, God is speaking. When you're in school, God is speaking. When you're at home, God is on the drive this morning. God was speaking. I don't know if you were listening, but I was. Every situation, God is speaking. This evening, when I'm at home, I'm going to watch the game. God's going to be speaking during the game. God is always telling me, why are you worshiping them? Is a team greater than me? I don't know. God, I'm trying. God, can I just enjoy the game? You worshiping a brand, a logo, a sport, a play. God said, what are you? Okay, God. God's, I mean, I don't care what you're doing. You just have to make sure you're listening. God is always speaking. And our youth, we have several youth that are in college and all that. And, you know, I'm, as much as I like college, you know, I'm hard on college. Because I've been teaching at the college level for years. And I see the first thing they do is let it be socially acceptable to drink. So they can't listen. So they're, you know, kind of faded, as they would say. The drinking rate is so high at the college level, they never tell you that. It's almost as high as the tuition. Well, they say what? They say that the kids' alcohol level is higher than their GPA. Wow. Yeah, all my college students say amen. and so Rose, when you step into it next year, just recognize. Yeah, there you go. Be careful, Rose, because you're going to see students there. And my son, little man, says, Dad, either you're going to see it or it's going to be you. So little man tells them as they're coming to college, either you're going to see it or it's going to be you. Your blood alcohol level is higher than your GPA. But it's a trick of the enemy because God's always speaking. And he's saying, if I can get them faded, if I can get them so high, they will never hear the voice of God. They'll be drowned out so Satan can influence our young adults to participate in all types of ungodly activities on a college campus in the name of education. God's always speaking. But here's the good news. God has carefully orchestrated the events in our life to push us closer to him. If we're listening. If not, it'll push you further away from God because you won't understand the grace of God and the providence of God and that God never allows anything to happen on accident. It's all perfectly planned and orchestrated to push us and remind us. When something happens today, just be reminded that God is saying, you need to get closer to me. You need to let that go anyway, and you need to get closer to me. Those are why the events happen, to remind us that we need God. Make a note of this as well. Look at this, this revelation. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay. Now, I told you several years ago, I had the opportunity to go to and study in Israel and Egypt. And we went to the Garden of Gethsemane. You have the big olive trees there and they're 2000 years old. The same trees where Jesus was right here. Possibly. But the place is still there. The evidence is still there. Same garden is still there. So make a note of that, that this is not Black Panther and Infinity Wars. This is real. Amen. It's a real places you can go. I don't know if anybody visited Wakanda lately. Is that the place, Wakanda, whatever it is? Oh, Wakanda. Thank you, little mama. All right. Try and catch a flight there. It's not going to happen. I'm just saying, I like the movie, but God's always speaking. I can enjoy a movie. God speaking, I can still enjoy the movie. Amen? But this is a real place. You can go there. You can see this. This is not fiction. It's nonfiction. All right, but here we go. How about a tale of two gardens? Adam blew it in the garden. Jesus got it right in the garden. Takes place in the garden. It's a revelation. It's more than information. It's revelation. Adam blew it in the garden. He messed it up for all of us. Jesus got it right for all of us. Amen. In the garden. He said, the difference was Adam went for the fruit. And, you know, we don't know the word. So we grow up thinking it was an apple. The Bible never says apple. It says fruit. So we wrong off the top. All right. But Satan told Adam, do your own thing. You're going to be like God. God knows that if you do this, then you're going to be just like him. Jesus said, God, I can't do my own thing. I want to because this is tough. But not my will. Your will be done. And so then we got a tale of two gardens. And then we, as kids, you know, and I didn't go to church. I told you all that growing up. But as you get older, you would know certain things because the other guys who went to church, as we were getting high, they would talk about it. Okay, that's funny. Anyway, all right, you missed that. But so they're talking about, man, if Adam wouldn't have messed up in the garden, man, we wouldn't even have to go through all this. But how do you stop right there? They didn't learn about this garden where Jesus got it right in the garden. And through Jesus, he's come to give us life and that more abundantly. We're all mad at Adam, but Jesus set it straight. We're so mad at Adam, we refuse to get ourselves right and connect to Christ so we can have the abundant life. You don't have to be mad at Adam. Jesus came and wiped it out right here. We have the abundant life that's been promised. What are you walking around mad at Adam for? Oh, man, Adam messed it up. No, he didn't. Jesus straightened it out. But see, but here's the thing. Because, see, we're in that garden, too. It's a garden of sin called America. And we want to eat the fruit. So we want to blame Adam so we can still eat the fruit. And it's not our fault. As opposed to connecting to Jesus, I'm going to blame Adam and I'm going to eat the fruit and I'm good. Jesus said it straight. I got some notes here. And see, the fruit symbolizes doing our own thing. Adam messed it up. Jesus got it right. And so for that fact, don't get mad at Adam. Run to Jesus and get it right. Amen. But, you know, I want to do my own thing, so I'm going to blame Adam. I'm going to forget about what Jesus. How can you get mad at one and not rejoice with the other one? Unless we really don't believe what we read. So make a note of that. I told you this whole thing is filled with notes this morning. As I'm studying, as I'm praying, and God gives me insight, I just write it down so I won't forget it. All right, so let's take a look at this. Let me make sure, Kathy, I'm going over all these. Read this. Oh, my goodness. Let's look at verse 20. Dominique, is that Dominique with me? Dominique, what is happening? Dominique, take us back to verse 20, 26 and 20. Take a look at 26 and 20. Let's just rewind it just a little bit to make sure we put this whole thing into context. Let's put this whole thing into context. I told you the Passover had just happened. Okay, family, we serve a God of timing, detail, order. Okay, so the Passover is happening. Remember, the Passover is when they celebrated when God brought them out of bondage out of Egypt. And they put the blood over the doorposts and across the top. And when the death angel came, it passed over those that were covered by the blood. Somebody say amen. I mean, it just makes all kind of sense. And on the Passover, they would always have to sacrifice a lamb. So here's a Passover. Jesus gets sacrificed and they don't even see the connection. He was a Passover lamb once and for all. So here's, they're celebrating the Passover, verse 20. Oh, and let me share this too. The Passover, it celebrates the physical deliverance out of bondage. And then Jesus is going to institute the Lord's Supper, which we're going to take. And then that signifies the deliverance from spiritual bondage and from the penalty of death and sin and the bondage of sin because of what Christ did. So we had the physical Passover and then we're going to have the spiritual Lord's Supper instituted. That's a 26 and 20. Now, when the evening was come, this is before he goes to the garden. So keep that in mind. This is leading up to him going to the garden. Now, when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily, verily, I say that one of you shall betray me." Wow. So he sits down with his disciples. They're celebrating the Passover. And he says, "One of you is going to betray me." Now, before you get upset with that, just think about it. Because we can walk right out of here. We could hear the message and we'll walk right out of here and do the same. We'll betray Christ. They're going to try and figure out who it. Who is it? Oh, my God. Somebody. And we don't even have to look that far. OK. Just think about last night. So, I mean, how could you be with Jesus and then stab him in the back? And just like we do every day. But see, this is what it does. It reminds us how much we need God because we couldn't save ourselves. It reminds every day I'm reminded how much I need God because I couldn't save myself. One of you is going to betray me. We would have did the same thing Adam did. We would have ate the fruit. Because we do it all the time. Don't try and get all spiritual on me. Y'all know y'all eat the fruit all the time. We do it all the time. We walk out of here. We do our own thing. We say what we want to say. We do what we want to do. Amen. We walk out of here. We betray Jesus because he says, "I need you to do this now." Okay, I'll do it later. I might get around to it, but I got to do my own thing right now. And remember, it's not about perfection. God's not looking for perfection. God just says, stay connected to me. Don't disconnect from me. See, it's the difference between the struggle and the practice, because we all struggling with something, but I'm not trying to practice any type of sin. It's the difference between the struggle and the, stay connected. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for connection. Satan tells you that you can't serve God because of what you did and what you thought. And then he goes and talks to God and tells God how bad you are. He has access to talk to God. And he tries to convince us never to talk to God. That's a cold game. And God wants to talk to us, but we can't even watch and pray for an hour. We can't sit and be still for an hour and wait for God. So don't feel condemned because Judas just did what we did. But it just shows that's why we need God. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for our sins, because we wouldn't have made it without you. That's it. We needed something to cover our sins because we're going to sin. And Jesus died on the cross, and we'll see that. That's why I said, God, it's not my will. He says, your will. And let me go there anyway, because I might run out of time. But look at verse. We'll come back to verse 21. But let's go to verse 39 again. Dominique. Verse 39. He went a little further, 26, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then look at verse 42. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father. Underline that again. Oh, my Father. When you talk to God, when you say your prayer tonight, when you leave here, say, oh, my Father. That's how God wants us to talk to him. Just like we would our father. That's why it's such an attack on fathers, because this is such a personal relationship between a son and a father and a daughter and a father. That's why the enemy always attacks the family. Man, he never wants us to be there for our kids. Never. That's the last thing Satan would want, is for our kids to be able to come to us and say, oh, my father. Oh, dad. Oh, mom. It's always attacking the family. That's had our services for Pastor Bugs yesterday, and one thing I was talking with his son, he was saying his dad said, we don't have a juvenile delinquent problem, we have an adult delinquent problem, because we're not there for it where our kids can cry and say, oh, my father. Creates a big void. So when you pray, tell Jesus, oh, my father. That was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me, and I speak for my brother Lavelle as well. And Frank knows my dad, man. Dad was just, it was so great having a dad like dad, you know. It changed the whole game in life just because you could say, oh, my father, and talk to dad. He was always there listening and loving. And that's the way our Heavenly Father is. He's always there listening. But the enemy would tell you, because you did this, I don't care what I did. I could go to my father and say, Dad, you know, I kind of messed up. And he'd say, son, okay, listen, son, this is how. I could always go to him. Why don't you think you can go to God and talk to God like that? Don't let the enemy convince you that you can't come to church, that you can't go to God because of what you did. You can always go to your father. So here we go. Verse 42. He went again the second time and he prayed, saying, oh, my father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. The only way it's going to go, I got to go through. Some things you got to go through. Thy will be done. So here's a conversation between Jesus and God. Jesus said, God, they don't even care about us. God, they don't even listen to us. They don't care about us. So why do I really have to do this for them? They don't even. Do you see what they're doing? God says, eventually they'll get tired of the drugs. They'll get tired of the alcohol, the fornication, adultery, bestiality, homosexuality, worshiping stuff, logos, brands. They'll get tired of worshiping people and sports and political parties. They will need a way back home. And then Jesus says, okay, God, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus said, all they want to do is eat the fruit. They want the benefits and the blessings, but they don't want the godly behavior. Do you see what they're doing? And God said, they're going to need a way back home. They need a way. They're going to need a way back. They're going to come to themselves like the prodigal son. They're going to realize they're going to get tired of this world. And young folks, y'all, keep living. You will get tired of this stuff. Trust me. Because young folks keep living and the parties and the lies and the bling bling and all that. You're going to say, my God, this stuff is so empty and so worthless. God, I need something more. And that's why Jesus said, God, nevertheless, not your will. Not my will, but your will be done. God said, they're going to get tired of it. And they're going to want to come back home. They need a way. You got to die. You got to cover them. Otherwise, they can't come back. And Jesus says, remember, he's in so much pain. He feels like he's going to die because he's getting ready to die. And you're not going to be able to tell God he doesn't know what it's like to go through hardship and pain and disappointment and betrayal. All right, let me read this last section. Then we can go ahead and take communion and go live this thing. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, so we were at verse 20. Let's go back to 20. Now, when the evening was come, he sat down with his 12, and as they did eat, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you will betray me. Make a note, either he's guessing or he's God. You just can't say, I can't sit in here and go, you know what? Somebody in here is going to stab me. I can't say it because I don't know that. But as I look around, I'm not. Jesus is sitting there and he's saying, man, somebody's gonna stab me in the back. Somebody's gonna sell me out. What else is betrayed? Somebody's gonna torment me. Somebody's gonna put me to death. It's a translation in the Greek. How did he know that? Either he's guessing or he's God. And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Let me save you some trouble. Yes, it's you. At some point we will. It's not a bad thing. It's just who we are. But that's why we have a Savior. That's why we need a Savior. Yes. Amen. You don't even have to ask. It's just a matter of time. I'm going to try my best not to, but I know at some point something's going to happen where it's going to be like, oh man, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have thought that. You shouldn't have did that. All right. My girls tell me all the time, Dad, you can't say that. So I already know it's me. Okay. JJ always tells me, Dad, you can't say that. Well, I'm in the house and I'm just fooling around. But Dad, you still can't say that. So I already go, it's going to be me. I'm going to say it. And I thought it before I said it. So it's already a problem because God knows our thoughts. And JL always tells me, Dad, stop. Because I always cross the line. And if I'm hanging out with Lavelle, we ain't even no line. We all over the place. So, all right. Who's it going to be? It's already us. Thank you, Lord. Because I know I wouldn't have made it. And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. So you're not going to be able to say, God, you don't know what it's like to be divorced. To be kicked. This is somebody who dips their hand in the dish. Somebody who's tighter than, what do you say back in Ace Boone Coon or whatever y'all used to say back in the day. This is your road dog. This is what your BFF or whatever. I don't know. The Son of Man goeth as is written of him. But here it is. Look at this. But woe unto the man, verse 24, by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. So for our translation is saying, you know, it's really bad for those who don't accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It'd be better for you if you weren't born. Because the only thing is waiting for us is the eternal separation from God, which is hell. And don't let your friends lie to you and say it's going to be a party in hell, because trust me, over in Hawaii with that lava flowing, ain't nobody got the DJ and the music and they're not dancing over there. It's not. It ain't no party. They're trying to get away from it. But you will not get away from it. Oh, man, I'm being there. It ain't going to be like I'm going to be a punk in hell. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be partying. I'm going to be with the homies and all that. No, no. When that lava's flowing, you ain't running to it. You're not cutting up the music. You're trying to get away. Don't let people fool you. Jesus is saying, if you don't accept me, it's going to be better for you that you hadn't been born. Because you'll be eternally separated from me. And it's not a party. Okay, then here we are. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? I love Jesus. Jesus is so cool. And Jesus said to him, man, you said it. You the one said it. You know how you, they say you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the dog that screams is the one that got hit. Yeah. Jesus threw it out there. Ah, what does it mean? Yeah, you said it. You said it. You said it. Why you? You know the guilty one always speaking up. Always. Y'all know that anyway. But look at this. Let me read this, then we'll get into we're going to take communion because Jesus, he's going to break bread with him in verse 26. But see, family, you don't have to ask God. I already came clean. You don't have to ask God, is it me? Yes, it is you. Judas knew. And Kathy says, read this. So I got to read this. We know when we are connected to God or not. Come on, family. If you look in your heart right now, you know if you're connected to God or not. That's your decision to make. We know when we have a relationship to God or not. Bless you. And family, as a pastor, and I'm telling you, don't think yourself weird, but I have this conversation with myself every day. God, am I really connected to you? I have to evaluate it. Because you can get up here and play a role and read stuff. But at night, when I'm laying in my bed and I'm just saying, God, am I really about you? Do I have a relationship with you? Am I really connected with you? I just do this for show? I mean, I could. But you got to have the courage to ask yourself, God, am I really connected to you? And God, how can I be connected deeper to you? Did I live for you today? Were you involved in any of my decisions today? Did I consult you at all? Did I reflect your love when I dealt with my wife, my kids, my coworkers, my church family, my family? Did I even pray this morning? Did I read my word today? Did I think about you at all? I mean, come clean. God, am I really connected to you? Did I think about you at all? And then you ask yourself the question, ask it now and then get it right. And get right with God. It's amazing how some people think they can live a life disconnected from God and then die and automatically be connected to God. No, it's not going to happen. We have to connect with God while we are alive and conscious and in our right mind and join ourselves to Jesus Christ. And then when we die, we just make that smooth transition into paradise, into the presence of God. That's how it happens. But you got to ask yourself, man, am I really connected? And if not, then I need to get connected. Does it mean that much to you at this stage of the game to connect yourself with Jesus Christ? All right, well, let us take communion then. And let me say this. For those of you who are visiting, of course, you can take communion. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, yes, take communion if you are visiting. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, then don't take communion because it's nothing for you. Dominique, go to verse 26 and let me just look how it just flows right into our communion. Verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it. He broke it, gave it to his disciples. He said, take, eat. This is my body. He took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Somebody underline that. 28. This is why we, this is a reminder, this is a remembrance. Because God knew that our world would be falling apart and stuff would be crazy and there'd be all kind of isms and racism and this and that, and we could get distracted. He said, you do this and remember, don't ever forget what I've done for you. Don't lose your biblical perspective on life. Bring it back home. Do this in remission, in remembrance of me, for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. If you've never committed sin, then you don't need Jesus Christ. Verse 29, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it with you in my father's kingdom. It's a promise. We'll be in heaven taking communion. I don't know how, but Jesus said with his disciples, I'm getting ready to die. The next time I take communion with you guys, we're going to be in heaven. But do this in remembrance of me till I come or until you get there. Oh, my goodness. Brothers, go ahead and pass out it. So as you're reflecting, just thank God for forgiving us of our sins. Thank God that he did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. If you've ever been betrayed, you got to forgive them. Just like God forgave us. It's not about your will. It's about God's will. Some things you just got to go through. Dominique, put the song up.